Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, here we are. Welcome to Monday, and welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, and welcome to the new month as well. Ted, we're in November already.
Hard to believe. It certainly doesn't feel like it outside right now, depending on where you are. But
you've adjusted to the time change?
Yeah. Okay. Welcome an extra hour of sleep anytime, the older I get.
I don't know. We had some grandkids over at our house, and so they got up at their regular time a little earlier.
Oh, actually. No.
It's like, okay.
So you missed it, huh?
didn't see the benefit. But no, that's speaking of benefits, though, excited about the Faith Radio app. That's just been launched, right?
So that's right. Yeah, go to on your mobile device. It's in the iTunes store. It's at the Play store if you have an Android device, and free.
Yeah.
Take it with you wherever you go.
It's an opportunity for you to enjoy Faith Radio wherever you go. You can get the programs you love. Plus, you can listen to live stream, access shows you've missed, read the newest articles, discover new opportunities to connect. It's all available at the Faith Radio app. So you can find it. I think there's a link on our website as well, right? MyFaithRadio.com.
Yeah, I think you can find it right there.
Yeah. So
pretty easy.
Opportunity for that. There's also, speaking of apps and websites, there's a new website that just launched today or yesterday, and that was one of the reasons why we wanted to have our guest on today. We've talked with David Bryant in times past, and we always enjoy the conversation, but it seemed like a good reason to have him on. They have just launched a new website, part of the Christ Awakening Movement. It's called ChristNow.com, and we're going to talk more about that. Let me introduce today's guest, and we'll jump into the conversation. David Bryant, well, for the past three decades, has been defined by many as a messenger of hope and a Christ proclaimer to the church throughout the world. He's formerly a pastor, minister at large with the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, president of Concerts of Prayer International, and the chairman of America's National Prayer Committee. Currently, David provides leadership to Proclaim Hope, whose mission is to foster and serve a nationwide Christ awakening movement. And David's played a wide role in the world prayer movement and a number of things. He's had opportunities to train and do seminars and develop leadership coalitions. He's done a lot of mentoring. And, it's an opportunity for us to focus on this God-given awakening to the full extent of the supremacy of God's Son, so as to revitalize Christians everywhere to serve his kingdom purposes with renewed hope and passion, which is what we are excited about. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about not only Christ summits and Christ colleges and his wonderful book, Christ is All, but we want to talk about this new website, and we're going to jump into more with David Bryant back on Connecting Faith. David, my friend, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Neil. It's always a joy to be with you.
We want to talk a little bit about, we don't want to talk a little bit. We want to talk a lot about who Jesus is and how we can see him more clearly. Maybe we should just start out with a few definitions. We talk about a Christ awakening. What is a Christ awakening, and maybe when and how does it happen?
Well, Christ awakening is a term I coined probably about 10, 12 years ago. In previous generations, they talk about reformation or revitalization or revival. So any of those terms would be valid. But a Christ awakening might be a little more specific. It's like waking up in the morning. Everything you need to start the day is right there in the room, but you're not aware of it because you're asleep. And so then you wake up and you put on your clothes and you walk out the door and you get on with the day. Well, Paul says in Romans 13 to Christians, he said we need to wake up because the day is nearer, a day of salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And so we should get up, and he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, sort of like putting on your clothes at the beginning of the day. So a Christ awakening can happen to an entire generation, as we've seen in church history from time and time again. It can happen inside one congregation that goes through what sometimes is called revival. They awake to more of who Jesus is. It can happen in an individual life. It's happened in my life multiple times where I become aware of more of who Christ is in my life. Now, the point is, like with waking up in the morning, that he's already there, and he's there in all of his fullness. So it's not a matter of us getting more of Christ as much as it is us giving more of ourselves to him, the more we see of him. And what many of us, I might say, Neil, right now have been praying, and when I say many, I mean there are literally millions around the world who, in essence, are praying right now in what many consider to be the greatest prayer movement in the history of the church. They're praying right now, essentially, for a Christ awakening to take hold of this generation so that multitudes of Christians are made alive in a new way to the Lord Jesus. And because of that, are ready to go with him into his global cause in whatever manner he calls them to go. So I'm full of hope and anticipation, as are many, that we're right at the threshold of that awakening.
Neil, when you talk about that, you know, hopeful for this awakening, I mean, one could just look around us and say, well, you know, society doesn't seem like it's moving anywhere near a Christ awakening. I mean, we can talk about global troubles and unrest, and you know, tomorrow's an election day, and we're just a whole year away from presidential elections, and we look on the surface, it just doesn't look like we are on the precipice of something grand like you describe.
Yeah, well, and I could surely understand that, and I think there's some key reasons why we often end up looking at life through that kind of a lens. The first reason is, frankly, that our Jesus is just too small to start with. When we launched this new website you mentioned called ChristNow.com, we call it Christ Now because there's so much about who Jesus is right now, not who he was and not who he will be. Who he is at this moment, that he is active. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 that when he ascended on high, he did so that he might fill the whole universe. That's going on right now. He's filling the universe. He's filling it with his majesty, his sovereignty, his supremacy, his activity. I just got a book in the mail an hour ago that I ordered and it finally came today, entitled Your Jesus is Too Safe. He's not only too small, but in some ways he's too safe. That is, that he's doing a whole lot more than we realize, and if we saw that, there might be a little more fear and trembling inside of us in anticipation of some of the greater things that are to come. So that's the first thing, is we just need a much larger vision of Christ to start with, and then through that lens to begin to look at all the rest of life, our own life or the front page of the newspaper or what we hear about in the Middle East or anywhere else. The second, and just as importantly, is we are not reporting to one another the marvelous things that the Lord is doing at this very moment. Again, if you go to the website Christ Now, you'll find one of the pages is called Stories About Christ Awakenings, and we have lots of individuals from different walks of life taking a couple of minutes to do a little video where they talk about a Christ awakening that's happened inside their own lives. Now, some of them are well-known people like Dr. Erwin Lutzer at the Moody Church in Chicago. Others are like a housewife. One is a fellow that just got out of 30 years in a state penitentiary. I mean, it's such a variety, but they're all talking about the same experience, how they've had Christ awakenings in their own lives. And as I looked at all the videos we feature there, that's just the beginning of many more that are yet to come to that site, I thought, what if in our churches on a Sunday morning you set aside 5 minutes, not for people to give a testimony of some way God met their needs, but to give a testimony of some way they've received a larger vision of Christ because of something he's done in their lives. So it's really not about them, it's about him. And we started hearing those stories Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And then maybe I just add to that, what if all the missionaries who come home from the field and travel around in our churches, what if we asked them not to tell us so much about the needs on the field, but to first of all tell us about how in the last 4 years since they were with us the last time, they've seen the Lord Jesus at work in powerful ways that helped them as missionaries to see him more clearly for who he really is right now than they had seen him 4 years earlier when they were among us the last time, and to give us those reports, then we'd start realizing that there are phenomenal things going on among the nations. We're just not hearing about it. And certainly MSNBC or Fox or any of the other, they're not going to tell us most of those stories. We're going to have to start telling each other. And if we did, then, Neil, I am convinced the church would be so full of what Paul calls an abounding hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 15:13. We'd be so full of abounding hope by the power of the Holy Spirit that it would push back all the fears and trepidations that seem to possess us so often as believers.
You know, we have a break coming up here in a moment, but it seems like we probably need to just step back a bit more, because you mentioned a couple times about who he is right now. Talk about who Jesus is right now as supreme King and Lord. Paint us a picture of that.
Well, first of all, I would say this, that of all, you know, all the things that Jesus has accomplished for us, the singular event, now hold on for just a minute, we'll probably come back to this after the break, the singular event is the ascension, and that's the one part of the whole redemptive work of Christ we hardly ever talk about. We don't even celebrate it like you do the incarnation at Christmas or his resurrection at Easter. But if Jesus had not ascended and gone to the throne of the right hand of the Father to begin to rule and reign right now, everything else he did, his incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, his ministry, his teachings, they would all sort of be null and void, only because he is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, and completely everything he's done is completely acceptable to the Father and can now be fully applied to our lives. Do we have any reason to really have hope and celebrate who Jesus is right now? But who he is right now is everything he's accomplished, embodied in himself, sitting with authority at the Father's right hand and extending his mighty scepter into each of our lives and into the midst of the nations at this very hour. And maybe Psalm 110, which we can come back to, is probably the key passage on that, the most frequently quoted Old Testament passage in the entire New Testament.
We'll find out, why is Psalm 110 so frequently quoted in the New Testament? We'll get to that and more with David Bryant. David serves as a messenger of hope. That's what we're calling him. He is joining us today from the Ministry Proclaim Hope, and they have just opened up a new website, christnow.com. And we'll talk more about that as we go along. David's a former pastor, a minister at large. He served with the University Christian Fellowship. He was with America's National Prayer Committee and president of the Conference of Prayer International. He's written a powerful book called Christ is All. And we're going to talk more about the supremacy of Christ and what that means for us day by day, all that and more, coming up in just a moment. Faith about what that means to live in the light of Christ as Lord of all. He is the supreme. He is filling the universe with his sovereignty, his majesty, and his life-giving activity. What would happen if we actually live that out day by day? We're getting some encouragement today from our, as we call him, messenger of hope, David Bryant, who is joining us today from Proclaim Hope. David has been a pastor, a minister at large with the University of Christian Fellowship, president of Concerts of Prayer International, and much more, and they've just launched updated their website, christnow.com, and I want to encourage you to go check that out. We mentioned just a moment ago about Psalm 110, and thinking of tomorrow, an election day across our nation, but there's another day that is much more important, and the outcome is not uncertain. We've been talking about Ascension Day and about the day Jesus comes again as well. David, say more about Ascension Day, and then why is Psalm 110 so frequently quoted in the New Testament?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you mentioned about tomorrow being Election Day, because the two are tied together, Ascension Day and Election Day. you really can't separate them. I remember a few years ago when we were celebrating the National Day of Prayer, which is in May, and I was at that time chairing the National Prayer Committee, and we had a huge prayer gathering up on Capitol Hill in one of the House hearing rooms, actually, about 600-700 people gathered to pray all day for our nation. And Dr. Jack Hayford came to speak for about 20 minutes to give us some vision before we launched into a day of prayer. And he went to that passage in 1 Timothy 2, where Timothy says that we're to pray for all who are in authority. Excuse me. And he was telling, you know, reminding us that no matter what political party we belong to, we needed to pray for whoever was giving leadership to our nation, whether we agree with their policies or not. Because there's someone who is sitting as Lord over it all. And every principality and power is being brought under his feet because he's the ultimate ruler of the universe. And all the kings and princes are answerable to him. And when we think about the election tomorrow, I think about Psalm 110. Now, I mentioned before the break, it's the most frequently quoted Old Testament passage by New Testament writers. In fact, it's quoted or referenced in virtually every book of the New Testament, and even Jesus quoted it to substantiate his claims to be the Lord and to be supreme during the days of his ministry. And so you ask yourself the question, well, why did the New Testament church, of all the tremendous passages of the Old Testament, why was that the one they kept going back to over and over and over again? I mean, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, now here's the opening passage, a message for the launching of the New Testament church. And he's been with Jesus for 3 years, seen him in resurrection glory, watched him ascend into heaven. So you figure whatever Peter preaches must be the core message we need to take to the nations. And Peter ends his message after talking about the outpouring of the Spirit and the ministry of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. He completes it by saying this outpouring of the Spirit is evidence that Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. Then he quotes from Psalm 110, and then his last sentence is, let all the people of Israel know that this Jesus whom you crucified has now been made both Lord and Messiah. So even in the opening message of the New Testament church, Psalm 110 was the key passage that Peter used to climax his message. So what is it about Psalm 110? Well, just listen to these opening couple of verses. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. For the Lord will extend your scepter from Zion, and you will rule in the midst of your enemies. And a couple sentences later, it goes on to say, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, that particular verse is used over and over again, as many of us would know, in the book of Hebrews. But the whole passage doesn't talk about incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and those are all essential. But this passage is talking about the climax, the culmination, when Jesus sits down at the right hand, fulfills the prophecy of Psalm 110, and is at this very moment, as I said before the break, he's extending his scepter into my life, into your life. He's extending it into the life of this nation. He's extending it among the nations. And so we can always begin with a presupposition that Jesus is ruling and reigning, that his kingdom is coming, that the victory is sure, that we are overcomers through him who loved us. And we need to start living with that vision and interpreting all the rest of life accordingly. And that's when the Spirit of God will start showing us some of the amazing things of God's grace at work that maybe we had not seen before.
I was looking again at your book, Christ is All, over the weekend, and it reminded me as you addressed it, you know, there was several years ago, a best-selling book urged us to become purpose-driven, and, you know, not a bad thing, but you suggest that, you know, we need to focus something before we get to purpose. I mean, we tend to be kind of so pragmatic, don't we, here in our country?
Absolutely, and the way I often put it, this will take about 30 seconds, is we do need to be purpose-driven. But before you can be purpose-driven, you first of all need to be passion-driven. In other words, there needs to be a passion burning in your heart for the purpose if you're ever going to stick it out with the purpose. So you can't stay purpose-driven unless, first of all, There's the fire in the bones. You're passion driven. But you can't really be passion driven unless you're, first of all, promise driven. And I'm talking about the Christian life, Christian discipleship. And that is, the passion that grows in my heart is based upon the promises of God, and some have estimated there are 7,000 separate promise statements in the Scriptures. Well, however many there are, the Bible is filled with hope. The Bible is filled with promises. And my only certainty that everything I do in the purpose is going to make a difference is because I've got a promise to back it up. And when I see the promise and I realize how wonderful it is and that I don't want to live without those promises being fulfilled, that's what stirs in me the passion to then jump into the purpose and be a part of the fulfillment of those promises in something I'm involved in myself. But finally, the way I put it is, you cannot be a promise-driven Christian unless, first of all, you're a person-driven Christian. Of course, we're talking about the person of Christ. For example, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1 that all the promises of God are yes to us in Christ Jesus, to which we respond, amen, which is a word that means let it be done, or bring it on, is the way I would say it in modern terms, bring it on. So every promise that God has made, they're all fulfilled in Christ. In fact, they all belong to Christ. They're all about Him. They're all meant to exalt Him when they're finished. So when I see the person in whom are embodied all the promises, and I'm driven by my love and desire to be completely involved with Him, then that's what ignites a new kind of fire in my bones that gets me into the purpose and keeps me in the purpose until the work is done. So it's not that we can't be and shouldn't be purpose-driven, but so many of us start at that end, and then things sort of fade out after a while. You know, we give up, we despair, whatever. And that's because we started at the wrong end. We need to go back and get a new vision of who Christ is now and become wrapped up in Him, and then the rest of it will follow quite naturally.
We've asked David Bryant to join us today simply to help us do just that very thing, to get a new vision of who Christ is now, and to start at that point, and then to see our passion and our purpose move forward from there. Talking today with David Bryant about Christ is all, about a joyful awakening to the supremacy of God's Son. They have just launched a new website called ChristNow.com. And it's just launched yesterday, and so there's lots of great opportunities, resources there to see, and we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a moment, and would love to have you stick around for the conversation. And if you have a question or maybe a comment, something you've heard so far as you've prompted a comment or a response you'd like to join in, you're welcome to give us a call. The phone number is 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. David Bryant is director, founder of Proclaim Hope, and they've launched a national campaign of hope focusing on a Christ awakening throughout the churches in America. He's been a pastor, a minister at large at the University of Christian Fellowship, president of the Concerts of Prayer International, and chairman of America's National Prayer Committee and more. And he's joining us today on Connecting Faith. More in just a moment. Stay tuned. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. Two past the hour, and we're taking some time today here, the new month just before us, and it's a good time, any time really, to recognize and remember who Jesus is, who He is right now. Right now, King Jesus is filling the universe with His sovereignty, His majesty, and His life-giving activity. And we're understanding more about that today as we talk with David Bryant. David is founder of Proclaim Hope, and he has been leading and monitoring and encouraging and motivating a Christ awakening across the world for a number of years. We're happy to have him back with us here on Connecting Faith. And one of the reasons we want to talk to him today is because they've just launched their updated website, ChristNow.com. And David, just say a word about what people will find there.
Thank you. Yes. Well, actually, I should probably clarify a couple things real quick, Neil. Number one, it's not our website like my website or Proclaim Hope's website. It actually is a website that belongs to the church in general. So that's the first thing. We launched it yesterday because that's All Saints Day. And we said, well, you know, this website is by the saints, for the saints. And in fact, already people are coming on from other parts of the world, and this thing's only been opened up for 24 hours. So we see that it's going to really serve the body of Christ at large, and particularly help to feed and fuel this Christ awakening movement that so many of us have been praying for so many decades now, and that we believe we're on the threshold of at this moment. The way we define it, and there's a huge media campaign about to begin, and there'll be ads running, full-page ads in a lot of the leading Christian periodicals and so on. And in those ads, what we call it is that it is the hub for free, and I emphasize free because everything on it is free. It's the hub for free, Christ-exalting resources from the church for the church. And if you get on, for example, there's a whole section called Stories About Christ Awakenings. We talked about that earlier in the show. There's another section that are all videos of messages on the glory of Christ. We've hand-selected to give a variety and a cross-section of the whole body of Christ. There's a whole thing, whole page called Books About Christ Now, and we're not selling them, but we're highlighting all kinds of books that are rising up right now that are focused on the glory of Christ that most Christians sitting where they are would not even be aware that these books are coming forth. For example, listen to this, Neil. Just this past week, a brand new study Bible was published. I just got my copy of it 2 days ago. It's called the Jesus Centered Bible, and it's designed to take you from Genesis to Revelation in your Bible studies and show you everything the Bible has to say about the glory of Christ. It is a phenomenal tool, and nothing like that has ever been put together before. Our site has a lot of training videos. It has, for example, you can sign up to take a 55-day journey into a Christ awakening where you will get an email every day with a short video to do teaching on the glory of Christ, and you could watch it, and this next day another one, two or three reflection questions if you want to take time for that. So it's actually a discipling tool to lead people into a deeper understanding of the greatness and glory of Christ. All of it is free, and it's like I said, there's never been a website like this before, ever, on the internet. And it's a website that's going to keep growing because every facet of it has a place where you could click on and make contributions. You can send in videos. We have a whole section on worship, just worship videos focused on the glory of Christ. You can send in suggestions of other worship videos on Christ that you'd like to have posted, and we'll get those up. So it's going to be an interactive kind of a site as it continues to grow. All of it, I end by saying, is designed ultimately to feed and fuel Christ awakenings in individual lives, in congregations, and ultimately in this generation, and we mean that in terms of the church worldwide.
Now, as you've talked a little bit about, the reason this is so vital and so important is because we have a crisis that too many Christians are not Christ-driven because our vision of Him is too small. I think you put it that we, reading on the website, that you know we put Jesus at the center of, or we try and place Jesus at our service. I think in the book, Christ is All, you describe it, sort of the difference between a mascot and a monarch. Say more about that.
Well, and I also mentioned that new book that just came out. I got in the mail an hour ago called Your Jesus is Too Safe, which is sort of another way of saying Your Jesus is Too Small. Well, in the book, I talk conceptually about the difference between the centrality of Christ and the supremacy of Christ. And what I say is, for most Christians, when they talk about Jesus as the center of my life, it's more about them than about Him. He's at the center of who I am, where I'm headed, what I'm doing, how I get blessed. And of course, He wants to be at the center of all of that, but He wants so much more. So then I say, well, then maybe we need to switch to another term and talk about the supremacy of Christ. The difference is that instead of Him at the center of who I am, where I'm headed, what I'm doing, how I get blessed, it's more about my life being lived out at the center of who He is, where he's headed, what he's doing, and how he gets blessed. And I talk about the difference, and you mentioned a mascot and monarch. The difference is that so often in our lives individually and in our churches, Jesus is more sort of like our mascot. I grew up in Massillon, Ohio, which is claims to be, and is correctly so, the origin of both high school football rivalries in this country as well as professional football. Massillon, Canton, that's where professional football began. And we had a mascot. It was a Tiger. And I learned as I grew up in a stadium with 22,000 seats for high school football games that the mascot was probably the most important person to the student body. He got to wear a real Tiger skin because our mascot was a Tiger. And when we got down and were discouraged, he'd run out on the field and help us to get cheered up and moving again and believing in ourselves and so on. So we were glad to be Massillon Tigers. I've got a ball cap and a sweatshirt. It says Massillon Tigers. I don't feel embarrassed to wear that out in public. But the fact of the matter is, when it came to the game, it was the coach who trained the team. It was the quarterback called the plays. It was the team that made the touchdowns, won the game. When you read about it the next day in the newspaper, you never read about the mascot. You just read about the team. And I said, you know, years ago I just decided, because I've traveled into churches all over this world, and I've seen it everywhere I go, it's sort of like on Sunday we bring Jesus out on the field to cheer us up, you know. He's our mascot, and we're proud to belong to him, and we take his name, and we're delighted to be known as followers of Jesus. But for the rest of our lives, most of the time, until we need another shot in the arm, most of what we're doing is we're calling the plays, we're running the plays. We're getting the touchdowns. We're the ones that get written up. You know, when we give testimonies, we're really talking about ourselves. We're not talking about him. So I say, you know, there's a world of difference between that view of Jesus and the New Testament view of him, which is a view of one who is Lord, who is reigning, who is sitting in majesty, who is the monarch of the universe. Another way I sometimes put this, Neil, is that Jesus has become our logo rather than our logos. Because when John says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Greek word he uses for Word is logos. And that means he's supreme, he's in charge, all things begin in him, all things find life in him. That's what John says. Out of his fullness we receive grace upon grace. It's all about him. But for many of us as Christians, he's more like our logo that we wear on our T-shirts. He's a logo. We're identified with him, but really in the end, we're in charge of everything. Even what we do in our churches is more about us and about our plans and our good intentions for him rather than sitting at his feet and letting him really be the head of our churches and take us where he wants us to go.
In one of the chapters in your book, Christ is All, you talk about, you know, how we need to move beyond this kind of survival mentality in our life and church. It's a practice, anticipatory discipleship. I thought that was an interesting word to say more about. So what does this look like in practice if we don't want it to just Jesus just be our logo? We want it to be the logos. What does that look like?
Yeah. Well, first of all, in terms of the New Testament, the entire Christian life begins with hope. Mm-hmm. It doesn't begin with faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, conviction of things not yet seen. So unless I have a hope, unless I have a sense that there's more coming, that there's more in Jesus than I have right now, and there's more coming from him than I have right now, unless we have that sense of hope, not just about my life, but about what God is intending to do to bring this entire universe under Jesus as Lord, and that I'm a part of all of that, to live in that larger vision and that sense of hope, then faith is the evidence that I'm living in that sense of vision and hope, in anticipation. And so then I walk out that hope by faith, the obedience of faith, Paul calls it. I live by faith in obedience. Faith without works is dead. I have a faith that works itself out ultimately in love. But the starting place is hope, anticipatory discipleship. You know, Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's how he began his ministry. And you just look at that one simple statement. Come means you go from where you are to someplace you've never been before. foul means there's someone else in charge going out ahead of you, taking you where you've never been before. Follow me, not follow my teachings or some, you know, great scheme or plan I've cooked up, but I'm who your life is all about. And then the rest of it, I will, okay, something in the future that isn't here yet, I will make something that happens to me that I don't do to myself, somebody else does it, I will make you to be. And then he tells these fishers of fish, who haven't probably wandered more than 10 miles from their village their entire lives, he tells them, I'm going to make you fishers of people. I'm going to do something with you so far beyond anything you've ever been a part of that you don't even understand what I'm talking about yet. But you follow me, and I'm going to transform you into something you never were before. But it's going to feel all right because it's going to take you from where you were and move you into something new. It's all going to fit together. That's anticipatory discipleship. That's what Jesus wants for all of us, not just those early disciples. So I often put it this way. It isn't a matter of survival, which a lot of our praying and living is just for survival, nor is it only a matter of revival, which sometimes we pray for, but rather it's a matter of arrival, that Jesus wants to come upon us and do a whole new thing in our lives. He wants to conquer us afresh. He wants to take us captive to himself. He wants to lead us on, he said, to the very ends of the earth, which means without any limits as to how far he wants to take me and where what he wants to do with me. And so my prayer ought to be for arrival. Jesus, would you come and do a new thing in my life and take me into the center of who you are, where you're headed, what you're doing, and how you can get blessed.
More with David Bryant in a moment as we continue here on Connecting Faith. And we're talking about hope. There is hope. And we're going to talk more about a Christ awakening when God's Spirit uses God's Word to reintroduce God's people to God's Son for all he is right now. That is our prayer, and you'll also find more on that on this new website, christnow.com. From the church, for the church. David serves as the founder and director of Proclaim Hope. He's a pastor, a messenger of hope. He's been a pastor, a minister at large in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. He's authored The Christ Is All. He's joining us today on Connecting Faith. If you'd like to join us with your comment or question, you're welcome to call as well at 877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH. More with Dave Bryant in just a moment. About the sovereignty and the supremacy of Christ. Right now, King Jesus is filling the universe with his sovereignty, his majesty, and his life-giving activity. And there is hope, as David Bryant has reminded us, that the gospel, the message, starts with hope. And the Christ awakening begins when God's Spirit uses God's Word to reintroduce God's people to God's Son for all he is right now. David Bryant has been the messenger of hope and proclaiming that for decades, and we're honored to have him back with us today as we talk about the launch of a new website from the church for the church called ChristNow.com. David, one of the things that you mentioned in your book, Christ Is All, as we talk about the world in which we live, you remind us that Christ's global cause not only initiates harvest fields, it also instigates battlefields. Talk a little bit about that. We certainly can look in our world today and see that there are power encounters around the globe.
Yeah. Yes, and I'm sure for most of us right now, as you say that, our minds go directly into the Middle East and into the Muslim world in general. And though there's not time to go into details here, nor should some of it be said publicly, just to encourage all of our listeners that there are phenomenal advances of the gospel going on in what we think of as the Muslim world. And we're literally seeing thousands and thousands of former followers of Muhammad becoming followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, of ISIS, as he said, as they say it in Arabic, and just loving him with all their hearts. Now, the fact of the matter is, as you just said, many of them are paying the price for their commitment to Christ that most of us have never been asked to pay. Because when I talk about harvest fields and battlefields, the battlefields, of course, are from the forces of darkness who are definitely arrayed against us. You know, we just had Reformation Sunday a week ago where we celebrated the Reformation, brings back to mind Luther and, of course, his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And he has those words, still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. You know, he really is, he's out there doing everything he can to not only resist the advance of the gospel into places where there are people who have never even heard of Jesus before, but he's equally, in fact, maybe more so passionate about resisting any kind of a Christ awakening inside the church. Because when a Christ awakening comes, and we know this historically, when the church awakens and rises up with newfound vision for and passion for the Lord Jesus Christ and are willing to do what Jesus said to do, and that is lose their lives for his sake and for the gospel, then there are whole new waves of outreach and the spread of the gospel. So it means there are going to be harvest fields where the devil once had full reign and now no longer so. So in a sense, he almost wants to bring resistance against any effort, even in my own personal life, to become more alive to Christ. Because he knows that the more alive I am to Jesus, the more available I am for him to employ me and deploy me in his marvelous global cause. And that's the last thing the enemy ever wants to see. But we just need to be encouraged. Yes, there are a lot of battlefields out there, and most of what we read in the papers are telling us about some of the battles, both human and spiritual, that are actually going on. But a lot of that is because, preceding it, there are harvest fields going on that the newspapers aren't telling us about, and that in many cases have to be kept quiet. They don't want it to be widespread and create even more difficulty. But it's because of the harvest fields that we're experiencing some of these battlefields right now.
I was wondering, David, if there are people listening today and say this is encouraging, and yet they're dealing with disappointments, maybe because that God has not maybe worked for them as they had hoped. Maybe they haven't had a clear picture of who King Jesus really is. And so, say a word about disappointment in our faith journey.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question, an absolutely central question for all of us to wrestle with. You know, why do these things happen to me that discourage me, dishearten me, surprise me, and disappoint me? I got an email just yesterday from a couple who are involved in a church planting ministry where some of the church planting team, there's been a little bit of division, and a part of the team has walked away. And I know this couple. I know how much they love Jesus. They've sacrificed greatly to be in the situation where they are. They're in secular employment because they're planting a brand new church, and that's the only income stream they have. So, I mean, they've really lost their lives for Christ's sake and for the gospel. And so they're writing just to share with me how their hearts were broken. And I wrote back to them this morning, and I reminded them of sort of my paraphrase of something I learned from Joni Erickson Tada in her wonderful book on suffering called When God Weeps. In other words, her whole idea is when you're weeping, God's weeping with you. Maybe not quite for the same reasons, but he certainly understands your pain and what your struggle is all about, and he's right there with you. But she says, and of course she has suffered as much as just about anybody I know, and she says that all suffering serves to, now here are the words, increase our capacity for more of Christ. In other words, our suffering, whatever else is achieved by it, and there could be many things that actually in the end are the good things God brings out of that suffering. But what it ultimately is doing is it's sort of opening me up, taking part of me out of the way, bringing some of me to the end, so that there's more space in me for more of Christ to come in and do what he wants to accomplish. It's increasing my capacity for more of him. Therefore, if that's really one of God's primary strategies in the life of a believer, in anything we suffer, then it seems like it makes sense that the most important strategic thing I can do before the suffering comes, as well as during the suffering, is to increase my vision of who Jesus is. Because who he is right now, in the fullness of who he is right now, ruling and reigning and supreme and victorious and all the things we've talked about in this hour, is who he wants to be in my life. He wants to come and fill my life. Now, that's different than centrality, where I'm just having him at the center of what I'm all about. But he wants to so fill my life that it absolutely, the word I use is, I get saturated. Saturated by God's Spirit with God's Son. And the more I suffer, the more potential there is for total saturation of my life with Jesus. So in the end, in a sense, when Jesus, you know, he says to lose your life for his sake in the gospel, which involves dying, he says, because if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. Well, what does he mean by that? He doesn't mean that I'll suddenly have a smooth sailing. What he means is you're going to find more of me when you lose more of yourself in me. And that's not only what the Christian life is about. That's what the rest of eternity is about. And that is discovering more life in him for all the ages to come. And I dare say, if Paul's right that in Jesus are inexhaustible resources and riches, I can't imagine any time, 10,000 years from now, when there isn't going to be more of the life of Jesus for me to discover and for me to receive, because he is inexhaustible in terms of who he is and what he offers.
Powerful encouragement from David Bryant today. David, we're going to close out with a little bit of a song. I thought maybe I'd just ask you to close us in prayer. Maybe even just before that, say a word about how could we or should we pray for a Christ Awakening. What would that look like? And then just lead us in prayer.
Well, I'm going to be leading a citywide concert of prayer in Cleveland this coming weekend, and I will be leading them through the key areas of what we pray for. Focus, a clarity on who Jesus is, fullness, more of his life flowing in us and through us together as his people. Fulfillment, that is, that God would use us to bring about the fulfillment of his purposes in our city and right to the ends of the earth. And finally, fervency, that he would ignite in us a new passion to give our whole selves over to Jesus for all that he is. So, Father, right now I join with Neil and everyone listening, and I just want to bring those four requests on behalf of this moment of prayer, that you would increase our focus and clarity on who Jesus is right now, that you would fill us with a fullness of him by the power of the Holy Spirit, not only individually, but your people together, that you would fulfill your mission in us and through us right to the ends of the earth, whatever it costs, wherever it takes us. And finally, that you would show us Jesus in such a way that our fervency for him would burn so deep that we would be willing to do anything, that we would live a life of loving him and adoring him and following him. And I pray this for his sake, above everything else, for the spread of his fame and the extension of his reign and the increase of his gain. And we love him and we pray it together. Amen.
Amen. David Bryant offering us hope today to see more clearly who King Jesus is. You can find out more. I encourage you to check out the website christnow.com. It's christnow.com. And David Bryant with Proclaim Hope, an honor to have you with us today, my friend. God bless you as we continue to see God do great work across our world.
Amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. I want to just remind you that if you missed part of today's program, you can always catch it again online. We post the interviews at our website at myfaithradio.com. And go to the Connecting Faith show page for that. Again, to check out christnow.com. It'll be a website that hopefully will be a wonderful resource for you for weeks and months to come. It's from the church, for the church. It's free material there, christnow.com. So check that out today. Thanks for listening.